shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
This is all about taxes, and there's a belief that until the economy
recovers... It's important for us all to sort of take a step back here and look at what's going on.
Most state workers, I've arranged for them to get a $15,000...
Judge, the court's ruling about the right to privacy in Griswold laid the foundation...
Booty is worse than what?
He needs his mama.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 a.m. on the West Coast, which is where we are here at El Pacifico, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, which is where a great many folks are, in the Mountain Time Zone, Central Time Zone, and 5 a.m. in the Maritime Provinces.
Yeah, midnight
midnight at the Oasis, babe. Midnight in Alaska. World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night. We try to bring you the truth. It's our bitch. Coming up this hour, the world according to General Galen Shaw. More to come on the CIA and Pelosi and everything else. And we also have the story of the billboard claiming that Martin Luther King's a Republican. Sounds kind of funny to me, but there's some people really just hacked off. There's a word we used to use back in the day. Hacked off about calling him a Republican. And so we'll find out about that. And our number is 877-876-PHIL. You can Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. If you ain't Twittering, I don't know why. You know, this is like an ad every night for some guy that's already just rolling in money, whoever the Twitter guy is. You're going over there, man, and give him some more money. But you should, because it's a great way to stay in touch with us. You can make comments during the show, and if Jason is not playing, I don't know, Halo or something, he might go over and actually check the comments and, you know, relay them to me.
When's the last time he did that?
Oh, it's just not long, just about 3 months. And then, kidding around, Jace. And also go to Facebook. We're on Facebook, if you pardon the expression, you know, on Facebook.
That's good. That's a good one, too. That's you're rolling tonight.
And anyway, get out of here, man. Facebook.com/PhilHendry. And then, of course, our website, www.philhendryshow.com, where you can go and watch live streaming video of the show right now. We are on the on our little webcam here in the studio, so people watch me, and then they go, "That's wow." Or you can listen. We have our live streaming audio, and it is downloadable the next day, so it's on demand, and we will have on-demand video as well. So those of you who are missing the video cast, you can see it the next day once we get up and running with the on-demand. Now, we're just going to finish out with the discussion here on the CIA and the secret waterboarding and the secret this and the secret that and what did Cheney know and what didn't he know? Because I want to really, this is very, very important. And it's not like I hold the key to the kingdom, man. It's not, I don't have all the truth in the world, but it doesn't take a brain surgeon to say the following thing. Some people may say to themselves, they may say, you know, Phil, suddenly I got a lisp. Some people may say to themselves, you know, this guy Hendry, all the reason why he doesn't say he's a Democrat or Republican is he's just trying to carve out a new niche for himself in this large sort of stale pool of dung called talk radio. Actually, I said to myself, well, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat because of the things that I believe, so I might as well just get on the air and tell people that. And in the process, declare my independence from them. But I don't even want to say independence because that means that I'm like Lou Dobbs. I don't want to call myself a libertarian. That means I'm Beck. And I don't want to call myself anything. I don't want to call myself anything other than handsome. And I can't do that. Not yet.
Another 20 pounds.
Another 20 pounds. Exactly. We got some problems in this country. They're not insurmountable. We've been down these roads before. We've been down worse roads before. We've got some problems. Now, I don't know about you. I'd like to solve them. I'd like to get to the business of what this, thus, and so. Do we need jobs? Yes, we do. Do we have to get this going? Yes, we do. We got to get that going over there, this and that and everything else. Now, what's been going on here, and it's become the political football of the century, man, even though the century itself is 9 years old, is a battle over who's going to write the history of the Bush administration. Well, you don't think that guys like Mitch McConnell and Harry Reid are going to write it, do you? You don't think the New York Times is going to write it. You don't think the LA Times is going to write it. You don't think Fox News is going to write it. Because I got a couple of, you know, I got a couple of surprises here. For Fox, the New York Times, the National Review, Nancy Reed, Harry Pelosi, you know, Richard Ford and Gerald Nixon. All those guys put together. I got a couple of shocks for you. You're not going to be writing the history of anything. You probably aren't even prepared to write the history of your own lives. You ain't it, man. Like Clint Eastwood said in Heartbreak Ridge, the Marines want a few good men. You ain't it. Well, you ain't it. You people ain't going to write the history of anything. Unless you got a doctor, unless there's a doctor who's asking for a stool sample. That's about all you're going to be able to muster up the history of. Last night's bowel movement. The history of this era will be written and rewritten, and it will be collated, and it will be gone over, and it will be picked through, and there will be books, and there will be other books. And finally, there will emerge a picture. And I am just egotistical enough to tell you at this time what that picture will be. The picture will be of a traumatized nation having suffered the worst attack on its own soil since World War II in a new era of rapid information, becoming frightened, confused, pissed off, determined, and then, of course, what Americans always do, self-doubting, a little bit of finger-pointing, questioning, this isn't exactly how it's supposed to go. Our grandparents and our parents, why they kicked the Germans' ass, everything's ended, we go home, and this has a rather blurry finish to it. It will be a history of a president, President Bush, who was very bad at communicating the vision that he had for the country. And I believe that Bush had a clear vision of what it was he needed to do for this country. The problem was he never had the skills of communication that some other presidents might have. Just as I truly do believe that Obama has the same clear vision of where he wants this country to go and how to get there. That's what we want presidents to do. The history of this time will also be a history of yellow journalism, destructive partisanship, a great deal of panic because of the new age of information, and that is the new medium of the internet and its role in disseminating news. A lot of hacks, a lot of amateurs, a lot of gossip and a lot of rumor and a lot of inference being taken as fact. A lot of books published, and not a whole lot of them containing very significant sections of truth. At the end of the century, the 21st century that you and I are living in right now, we will look back on this time as a time that prepared America properly for the coming century. At the end of the 21st century, we will look back and see that these two presidents, particularly Obama and Bush, were probably the best two presidents we could have in place for the era that we are facing, both with clear visions, both with a lot of detractors, both highly controversial, both very effective. One, a great communicator, the other, not. One with a lot of love, the other, not. Maybe one's a Lincoln and the other's a Ulysses S. Grant. If you want to go back into history, Lincoln was loved, that's Obama. Ulysses S. Grant, well, he had a drinking problem and he dressed sloppy and people thought he was kind of a jackball. But, you know, in the overall, those two men helped save this country. One of them, a bankrupt businessman, the other a hayseed from Kentucky. Two of the biggest schlubs I guess you'd ever want to see walking down the street and saying, we're taking over. I mean, you just assume might as well blow your brains out, right? And yet those two losers, in the minds of so many, saved the country. I believe that that's where we are. And I believe that, I don't know, I think what we need is some dramatic music here, bud.
You're probably right.
No, but I mean, I think that what we need to see is that, and we need to recognize, and we need to recognize who's really doing the damage, and who's really doing the damage right now are those people who are involved in the, what is this?
It's dramatic.
Yeah, I think it is.
Well, I think.
Wait a minute, let me do it. There's a time that, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it.
Go ahead.
There's a time that everybody got to beat. You know, be...
I'm going to do it, man. Look, y'all. You know, I love America like everybody else, you know. We got to pull together, man. We got to get our head out of our ass. Everything like that. The time to get our head and that wire together now. But by God, everything's going to go to hell in a handcart. You hear what Mr. Henry say? Everybody, you know, just quit running around, panic, all that, you know. I listened to Glenn Beck. He told me, what do you call it? Marijuana...
give me the thing back, will you? Anyway, thanks for that. No, you guys...
Well, I'm just trying to help.
Yeah. All right, well, I appreciate that. Because I was tongue-tied there. As soon as I heard that music, I wanted to slip into a ballet tight. All right, so, number is 877-876-PHIL. All right, we got some phone calls to get to. We want to talk about some of the stuff that we've been talking about, or maybe we'll talk about stuff that we haven't been talking about, or maybe we will get to the phone calls and we won't talk at all. And, of course, the Martin Luther King billboard and Sotomayor, and she pushes back against some of these guys saying, what are you, some kind of a bigot? Are you some kind of a sheet-wearing clan, you dirty? Well, we'll find out how it went today on Capitol Hill here in a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Truth is our bitch.
Phil Hendry.
Our number is 877-876. Phil, if you just joined our show, and you may not... Well, what's this guy? Is he is this guy on the conservatives, or is he one of those liberals? No, I like to think of myself as, first of all, a degenerate. And secondly, I'm kidding. No, of course. No, I like to think of myself as a guy who would like to see this country last a few more years. What party is that? Can somebody tell me what party I joined for that? Oh, don't be ridiculous. Republicans and... Hey. Don't give me that stuff about Republicans and Democrats want the country to survive. Republicans and Democrats don't think the country is in any trouble of actual survival. So they think they can, you know, play footsie with half of this stuff. They can sit there pulling it. They all got joy holes in their pockets and they're playing pocket pool.
They're laughing at everything now.
Well, they are, man. That's what they're doing back there. They're playing pocket pool with the country's future. So I want to join a party that wants America to go on. That's all I care about right now. Just moving, you know, like it'll exist maybe in 50 years. How about that? So if that's what you're wondering, you just got the – whatever political party calls for the continued existence of America as opposed to it being watered down to the point of almost like – you know, watered down Mountain Dew, then I'm not in favor of that at all. And I don't know where I go to join that party. And if there ain't such a party, I ain't going to start it, because the minute something becomes a political party, that's when the idea begins to die. Do you understand that? That the minute an idea becomes a political party, it starts to die. Now, that wasn't always the case, but that's the case today. People use their political allegiance as an excuse not to have to argue about anything. Because if you say that you're a Democrat, well, everybody knows what you are, and therefore you don't have to say anything. You just stand there looking stupid, calling yourself a Democrat. And the same thing goes for Republicans. What are you? I'm a Republican. Or the new one, I'm a conservative. Oh, well, I guess you don't have to defend your position at all. All you have to do is just quote our good, close, personal friend Rush. Because, you know, Rush is a nice guy, but if you're going through life quoting some fat man, next thing you know, you're going to wind up with a heart attack just by virtue of the fact that you're probably, you know, sharing his menu. Now,
You think that everybody's going to eat what Rush eats on account of they'll be a better conservative?
First of all, I didn't mean to call Rush fat. And second, yes. Now, a billboard proclaiming that the Reverend Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King, was a Republican, has stirred a religious and political hornet's nest in the city of Houston, where we have our affiliate KPRC and where we have a great many listeners, where a church leader is trying to draw black voters into the Republican Party. The jumbo-sized roadside ad made its contentious claim for about a week until a local black activist charged that the sign unjustly politicized King's legacy and was hurting his community by telling a blatant lie. Martin Luther King may have believed in some of the Christian principles of the Republican Party, but Dr. Martin Luther King was not a Republican or a Democrat, said Connell X, who heads the new Black Panther Party in Houston, which, by the way, they're all Democrats. Now, I don't know if they are or not. And I say Connell X. How do you pronounce that, Robert? Because you're the black guy.
That's Quant. Quacky.
Quacky X. Okay. Another guy by the name of Donald Duck X said, Anyway, Dr. King was bigger than a political party. He was a humanitarian, and so to attack him exclusively to attach him exclusively to any party is to devalue his humanitarian global status. All right. Here is a video that was posted by the National Black Republicans Association. When you hear this video, and you hear the audio from this video, recognizing that it was produced by a black caucus, if you will, a black segment of the Republican Party, perhaps you then understand how it sounds so, shall we say, ethnic. Nonetheless, here is a video and the audio of it posted by the National Black Republican Association. The group also claims Martin Luther King was a Republican. Now, this group did not put up the billboard, but they share the sentiments of those who did.
Dr. King was a real man.
You know he was a Republican.
Dr. King, a Republican?
Democrats passed those black codes and Jim Crow laws. Democrats started the Ku Klux Klan.
White hoods and sheets?
Democrats fought all civil rights legislation from the 1860s to the 1960s. Democrats released those vicious dogs and fire hoses on blacks.
Seriously?
And the Dixiecrats remained Democrats and vowed to vote for a yellow dog before a Republican. Republicans freed us from slavery and put our right to vote in the Constitution.
What?
Republicans started the NAACP, Affirmative Action, and the HBCUs.
Sounds like Democrats have bamboozled blacks.
Democrats blocked the minimum wage passed by Republicans, and over $200 billion have been spent on education, health care, and job training since President Bush took office.
So Democrats want to keep us poor while voting only Democrats.
Democrats want us to accept same-sex marriages, teen abortions without a parent's consent, and suing the Boy Scouts for saying God in their pledge.
See, we need to think and vote on our own values.
Exactly. Democrats have talked the talk, but the Republicans have walked the walk.
Girl, it's time for us to do the walk.
You know it, girl.
All right, Robert.
I'll turn that on, you dumbass. It's this one here.
You got the wrong audio, bud. You know, you're the worst engineer I've ever had in my life.
All right, I thought you wanted a violin.
Don't want that one, man. We want that hokey jackball violin. You know that Western stuff? We'll do it later, Robert. Well, no, we better do it now because now people don't even know what the hell it is I'm talking about. I wanted that Western bed, you know? Here it is. Go ahead.
My name is Robert Leonard, and I'm talking on the Republican Party. Number one, Dr. King. So this is his favorite music here. And I knew Dr. King many years ago, and he loved this. He goes, yeah, damn, yeah, yeah, yeah. He loved it, man. He played in a car, you know, and he a Republican. Now, I know a lot of you, like Spike Lee, you know, did get on the bus. I said, yo, no man going to throw me off the bus just because I'm a conservative, you know. Now, I know I'm a dumbass, and I know I'm a big, ugly slob, and I look like a freak. But I was almost the heavyweight champion of the world.
Doing, man? Are you doing a line from Requiem for a Heavyweight? Get out of here. 877-876-PHIL. All right, so what's the bottom line on all this? Well, the bottom line is they're bugged. And I think they have a right to be because while it is true, well, first of all, let's be clear. Yes, it was the Republican Party that came out forcefully as the very first national party to say slavery must end. It wasn't the Democrats. It wasn't the forerunners to the Republicans, which were the Whigs. You ever heard of the Whigs? You probably heard of the Whigs, right?
Yeah, your mom's got one.
My mom's dead.
Hey, no.
Get out of here. When she was alive, she had. No, the Whigs was a political party, but they were wishy-washy on the slavery issue, and the lines were being drawn in the sand in the country. So, yes, they were. Democrats were a states' rights group. They were ardent slaveholders and were the people most responsible for the institution of Jim Crow. That is absolutely correct. And what happened was that following World War II, when the Cold War began and the struggle internationally against communism began, many of the purists in the Republican Party having to do with Constitution, federal power, a lot of them were frightened because of this, what they perceived to be an influx of communist, sympathy, communist philosophy into, organs and departments of our government. I mean, there was a whole investigation into this. And gradually, the Republican Party became a party that, let's just hold on to this centralizing power. Now, I know it started before that with Roosevelt and the very large programs that he instituted during the Depression, but it really came into full relief in the Cold War. The Democrats, however, you got to understand something. Even during the 50s, there were a great many Democrats, particularly in the South, that were still states' rightsers and were very much against the repeal of Jim Crow, were very much against the federal government intruding. And you have to know your history. The first president to call out troops to enforce the integration of a school was a Republican president. And that wasn't the first time that Eisenhower did that. A lot of people in his own party didn't like it, but when you become the president of the United States, funny thing happens. You start pissing off people in your own party because now you're the president. Maybe you get smarter, maybe you get better looking. I don't know what happens. I think it's probably you get smarter. But today, to call Martin Luther King a Republican means that he would be a, and they're saying he would be opposed to gay marriage. Martin Luther King was opposed to the Vietnam War. I don't see him taking quite the conservative tack they think he would. Your calls at 877-876-PHIL, General Galen Shaw, next. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
So we have General Galen Shaw, retired general of the U.S. Army, who did a tour or two or three in Vietnam, is going to be with us. And we'll talk about the CIA so-called programs to, you know, take out terrorists and, you know, and the value of these programs. What is a program? And was this a program? And is Congress, is this much ado about nothing? Which, you know, we know that it is. We'll talk with General Shaw about this. Coming up in just a second, our number is 877-876-PHIL, Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhendry. Go to Facebook, facebook.com/philhendry. Go to our website, do something, just leave me alone. No, I'm kidding. Those are just places where you can go to augment your Phil Hendry experience.
Yeah, it's like when you go over there, then you'll see pictures and everything.
Exactly. In fact, if you want to see pictures, you'll see moving pictures. You'll see me right now by watching our live streaming video. Let's go over here to Josh in Arizona tonight. Josh, what can we do for you?
Well, hey, Phil, I'm a first-time listener. I'm actually calling. I heard this little piece on the Martin Luther King billboard. Now, I kind of have to preface my statements in saying that I actually pastor a church here in Phoenix, Arizona. And I preach a good amount in, you know, a lot of black churches really reach out to the black community, me being a white guy. And I, you know, I hear this piece about the Dr. King billboard, and I can guarantee you, if I were a betting man, I'd put $1,000 on it. That good old fat Reverend Al Sharpton, the idiot that he is going to be out there under that billboard, and he's going to be just undoing all of the work that Dr. King did. Now, I think that, you know, that
undoing all the work that he did.
That's not a
stretch, though, is it, Josh? I mean, if you think about it, I mean, sure, Al and Jesse, a lot of those guys, they go to wherever the fire's burning bright. And
hey, here's,
I don't know.
Here's what absolutely blows me away, Phil. First of all, whoever gave these guys, or Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton, the title Reverend? First of all, I have never even heard them ever even preach anything about Jesus, never heard them talk about love. The only thing that I ever...
Well, when did you hear Dr. King talk about Jesus?
Well, okay, but then you don't really have Dr. King that's out there really proclaiming his reverend status, you know, but...
Oh, no, he called himself a reverend, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. He called himself a doctor. He was a doctor of theology. But here, let's boil this down a little bit more. What you don't like is their politics. I mean, let's forget about whether they're reverends or not. I mean, they're Jesse Jackson, isn't he a reverend? Reverend Jackson? Yeah, Reverend Jackson, Reverend. I'm willing to, of course they're reverends. I mean, they have their, that's easily verified. But you don't like the politics of these guys. What don't you like about them?
Well, they're coming out, okay, claiming to represent the black community. Now, if anyone is in touch with the black community, it's a 28-year-old white guy here in downtown Phoenix that is reaching out and touching the black community. And
well, don't you think they have more contact with the black community than you do, though? They live among black people. Their families are black.
No.
Wait, are you telling me that you live with a black? Is your family black?
Well, I live.
They grew up black. Well, they grew up black. Come on, Josh, I don't take away from you at all. I don't take away from you the good work that you do at all, and you sound like an egalitarian guy, but you're trying to tell me that you've got more of a hand on the black experience in this country than two guys that grew up black.
Yeah, no.
Two guys that grew up black.
Phil, I grew up in the black community. I grew up preaching in the black community, the Church of God in Christ, the PAW.
Well, you ain't black.
Well, look, I'm the blackest white guy that you're ever going to find, and I can guarantee...
No, that would be Paul Butterfield. No, I'm just making a joke. The point being here that you started out talking about a billboard, right?
Yes.
And you're saying that you don't like the fact that Al Sharpton may take exception to that billboard?
Well, hey, yeah, they're going to be out there spreading... See, look, I...
Wait a second, man. Was Martin Luther King a Republican? Look, don't you think there's a good point to be made when they say, why would they take Dr. King and turn him into an ad, you know, for one side or the other? You might as well take George Washington or Abraham Lincoln and do the same thing. You know, Abraham Lincoln, he'd be a Democrat if he were alive today. I've heard a lot of people say that. I've never seen it on a billboard, though.
Yeah, well, hey, I will put my money on it that Al Sharpton will be out there, and he'll be throwing his reverend title, you know, around. And, I mean, he's doing nothing more, and, I mean, this is coming from a pastor, okay?
Yeah.
He's doing nothing more than the idiots from the Westboro Baptist Church, except he just has a different color of skin. He's out there preaching a political message.
I've not heard him characterize people. I've not heard him characterize people in hateful ways. I've not heard him use the F word. Have you heard him use the F word? Have you heard him use honky?
Look. He's out there preaching the same message of division, the same message of hate.
No, he's not. No, he's not. No, he is not. No, he is not. Look at man. I know what Phelps is. We've had Shirley on the show. I think she's funny. I frankly have a hard time taking him serious. But what they're talking about and the things that they say, you can't possibly tell me that that's exactly what Al Sharpton's doing. He's coming from a whole. You know what? He's coming from a whole different experience. I can't get into this discussion for too much longer because then we start talking about how come black folks don't see things the same way white people do. Well, they just don't in some instances. And that has to do with a lot of things that you and I can't cover here, man. I don't doubt that you're a guy that...
Al Sharpton lost contact with black America the day that he put on a $1,000 suit and hopped on a private...
Oh, I see. So in other words, black folks don't wear $1,000 suits.
Well, I'm saying this as a pastor. I'm in touch with the
yeah. You told me that already about you're in touch with the black people, but you're not black. You're not black, and Al Sharpton is. And you said something there that was very revealing to me when he put on the $1,000 suit. You know, there's a lot of white guys that put on $1,000 suits that a lot of white people love. Ronald Reagan put on $1,000 suits. There's all kinds of guys that wear nice suits, man. It doesn't necessarily make them suddenly, separate from their communities. I gotta run, man. I thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. That was a disturbing call, man.
Why?
I don't know. I didn't know what the guy was trying to say. He sounded like a very nice guy, but the stuff that was coming out of his mouth, it was... All right, let's get Galen Shaw here. And General Shaw is with us, retired United States Army General. Sir, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing very well, Phil, and I listened to the discussion there with great interest. I don't think you quite understood what the young man was trying to say.
All right, you explain it for me.
Well, I'm not going to presume, Phil, to speak for the young man, but what I felt he was saying was simply this, that Al Sharpton has lost touch with the black community because he's more of a media star than he is an actual member of that community.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, let me finish my point. That Al Sharpton now is more interested in having a television program, or perhaps a radio program and a television program, that he's more interested in rubbing elbows and having lunch and doing meetings and developing television pilots than this. I think it's clear to anyone that has looked at the Al Sharpton career as carefully as some of us have. I'm not making that claim, but I think I've seen it as clearly as some. Can I just interrupt for a moment? Because there's something on television that I'd like to bring to your attention, Phil. This doesn't have anything to do with Al Sharpton, but it is something that's disturbing me.
Go ahead.
CNN just showed a video clip, very momentary. Nothing that was on the screen for much more than 3 or 4 seconds, certainly not long enough to disturb the average person, but it disturbed me. And it was Marcia Clark, the former prosecuting attorney in the O.J. Simpson trial, and the mole on her lip. It may be a small thing, but I don't understand why she has not had surgery to have that removed, and that's all I want to say about that. Moving to what we were going to say about Al Sharpton.
Well, first of all, you were going to talk about the CIA. Secondly, Marcia Clark, the mole on her lip, huh?
The mole on her lip, yeah. And you may minimize that, and you may scoff at it, and call it nothing more than an old man who is set in his ways. But in my time, you would go and have that removed, even if it meant a complete face replacement, which they didn't have then, but they do today. All right, that's all I've got to say about that.
Well, let's get back to this Sharpton. I want to get to the CIA. Sharpton, first of all, you said Al Sharpton has lost touch with the black community because he's out doing meetings and wants to do TV pilots?
Al Sharpton's image changed radically following the Tawana Brawley case, which, as you know, he really took a beating. He backed the wrong horse, as we used to say, and came out looking no better for it. It was at that time that his hairstyle changed. He began to conk it a little more than he had and to process it, and almost as if it was a pompadour. But he had a beetle cut. It was a pompadour with a beetle cut. Now, this was an indication to me...
Hold on. What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about the... You're listening to what I'm saying, correct?
Yeah, I am. You're talking about his hairdo?
I'm talking about Al Sharpton's image when he conked his hair and mixed it with a beetle cut.
A beetle cut? You mean the original hairdo that the Beatles wore?
The pompadour that Elvis wore crossed with the beetle cut. Al Sharpton, and you know what I mean by conk?
Yes, yes, straightened it.
Al Sharpton straightened it. Now, he didn't straighten it in a culturally offensive way, culturally inoffensive way, the way that Michelle Obama, I think her hair looks beautiful. He conked it instead so that he would look like James Brown's fat uncle. And I know you're laughing, and you think you're probably funny.
Not necessarily, no.
Well, I've got some laughs. Let's back up. You don't think that's funny?
I don't want to talk about what's funny. I want to talk to you about what the problem is with Al Sharpton, because all of a sudden we're on Al Sharpton. We're talking about a billboard.
The man was saying that Al Sharpton separated himself from the black community, and I'm saying he did it because he conked his hair, processed it into a pompadour, and started taking meetings in Hollywood. Now, I don't know how much clearer I can be.
Are you aware of TV projects that Al Sharpton... So what does he want to do?
Well, I would imagine that Al Sharpton wants to get a job similar to one that is being held at this particular time by Judge Judy, one of the judge programs, or this kind of thing, but... that doesn't get someone buried in the right plot, and that certainly doesn't find someone's remains in a vacant lot. It certainly doesn't find someone's grandmother in a ditch. And
well, what is that? Are you talking about the...
I'm talking about what's been all over television the last few days, and that was this terrible, terrible situation with the cemetery.
That was Jesse Jackson. Al Sharpton wasn't out there.
Well, if that was Jesse Jackson, then I would submit to you and your listeners that Jackson is trying to sport a post-James Brown conk. The information that I've got...
No, that was not Al Sharpton. That was Jesse Jackson. You're going on and on about conked hairdos. Al Sharpton, first of all, we don't know that he's going to be out under those billboards, as this other gentleman seems to think that he will. You find his politics, obviously, to be explosive, correct?
I don't have any knowledge of Al Sharpton's politics. I'm talking about public image. And you don't get your grandmother dropped into a freshly dug grave, and you don't get your uncle pulled from a vacant lot that's roped off and dropped into the proper crypt by conking your hair.
That was not Sharpton.
Well, then who was it?
That was Jesse Jackson.
That was Jesse Jackson. Al Sharpton has separated himself from the... forgive me, that was Jesse Jackson.
Yes, it was. Let's get back to Al Sharpton before we run out of time. Al Sharpton, and we were going to talk about the CIA.
Well, there's nothing to tell there. The CIA is going to do what it's going to do, and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid had best just keep their distance. Walk around the CIA like it is a rabid dingo. That's my advice for Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid.
All right. Well, you know what? That's very interesting. But to wrap up the Sharpton thing, you just don't like his politics.
I don't like anything about him, of his looks. His politics don't bother, but his looks, the way he looks. It disturbs me. It disturbs me greatly.
All right, in the couple of minutes that we have, and you think that's dividing the black community?
No, yes, but the CIA?
No, Al Sharpton's looks.
Oh, without question it is. I think a young African-American male would become confused looking at Sharpton, looking at just the physical image of this man. And you're going to have a generation of young people who, on the one hand, want to appear as if they're African-American, and on the other hand, they're buying lye and potato.
All right. In the time that we have remaining, let's talk about the CIA.
All right. This is my favorite topic. Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and the rest of that gang of whatever they call them had best keep their distance, because if the CIA could send out hit squads that would take out Al-Qaeda and the others, you can well imagine that they've taken the LoJack from Pelosi's car and replaced it with a homing device of their own. I don't think that takes a brain surgeon. I think we all know that going in. As we speak, Dianne Feinstein is being tracked everywhere. As we speak, Harry Reid. This is how the CIA does business. And for them to open a can of worms on the CIA, they are begging for it. They're asking for it. And so I would, if I were them, keep a very wide berth until such time as they can determine whether they get out of bed in the morning and they look in the mirror and their throats aren't cut. And that's all I've got.
You're a big CIA. I know you're not an Al Sharpton fan, but you're a big CIA fan.
I think it's the greatest agency this country has ever conceived, and thank God for it, because if it wasn't for the CIA, the United States of America would not exist. It would be run by the same people that were running it, the native people, and it would be the United States of the Cherokee or the United. There's nothing wrong with that, please understand. But the white people would have had to pack up and move back to Europe long ago if it wasn't for the Central Intelligence Agency.
Well, a lot of people might, like you said, might think that's a good thing.
So, good for them.
General Galen Shaw, General, thank you.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure, Phil.
Talking about more time spent talking about Al Sharpton and his conked hairdo than anything else. We'll be back in a world-famous Phil Henry show as student sues an anonymous poster. An anonymous poster. She's suing. She wants the name of the person that posted defamatory comments on a newspaper's website about her. And our number, 877-876-PHIL, the only news, talk, and entertainment show anywhere in the history of the world that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, The Phil Henry Show.
And by the way, Phil, I was that anonymous poster. I don't know if your listeners are interested.
Phil Henry.
One of the things we're going to try to figure out here in the time we have remaining on the show tonight is this woman who wants to sue an anonymous poster. I think it's fantastic. I think it's great. I think it's great. I think that the law, the 96 Internet law, which they may have amended, protecting people that host websites, I think that thing is about to get burned up in the process. I think a lot of these people that host websites where people are being slandered, libeled, verbally raped, emotionally fondled, however you want to say it, you know.
Yeah, like emotionally have a hand down their pants.
Yeah, emotionally have a hand down their pants. I think you guys you ain't long for the world. This woman's suing to get the name of the person that posted this, and we'll find out how far that goes. And also coming up, Soldier Box is deploying because he says Obama isn't president because he hasn't personally seen the birth certificate, and so he's not sure. He sounds pretty confused. Let's go to a phone call here. We've got Dustin in Ocala, Florida. Dustin, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What can we do for you tonight?
How you doing, Phil?
Very good, thanks.
I just want to tell the general, like, I respect him and all that, but you can tell that he's more based on looks talking about a wart or a mole, right here with an enlisted fellow. I'm enlisted personnel, so we work for a living. When it comes to a statement you made about earlier about comparison to President Bush and Mr. Obama to the two historical presidents, right? I kind of felt that,
yes.
You know, people don't see the future resulting from the presidency we're right now. We blame it on Bush, and now people are blaming it on Obama. So I don't see how we got the best results coming out of those two.
I don't know what's. I don't understand that statement.
I'm sorry.
Turn your radio down or whatever that noise is in the background. You turn that down for me, please.
Is the background noise?
Yeah, I'm listening to something. I don't know. If it's not your radio, it's no sweat. Go ahead.
No radio. Okay.
I didn't understand your comment. I didn't hear anything in what you just said. So could you tell me what your point there was?
That you're trying to articulate? You said that we have a good thing coming in this century.
I think we have two presidents who have vision, and that's one thing that you need. I think they have the best interest of the country. As to whether you think, certainly there's people that are detractors.
No, I'm attracted to your show by your opinion, and then you ask for my opinion, and my opinion, to go against your opinion, is that you're saying that we have something that with both the needs. When Obama speaks, he's speaking about something that doesn't. Everything that he's sitting there suggesting now is prior suggestions from Hillary Clinton, from McCain's suggestions.
All right, so you don't like Obama. You don't think his ideas are good.
No, I didn't say I didn't like Obama. I don't like Obama.
No, I said you don't like his ideas. I said ideas. You don't like his ideas. What a waste. What a wasted phone call, man.